On behalf of the family, I want to thank you for your love, your prayers, the cards, your stories that you've told that helped shared with them about the, as you've honored the life of Eldon with the family and as you're lifting them up, as it's appropriate at this time that we would look to God's word, something that Eldon had put deep within his own heart. And in the program that you have, Psalm 121 is listed there, and that was a special psalm to both Eldon and Anita. And we're going to read that and then some words from Psalm 37. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And then Psalm 37, we find these words. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. And I thought this is especially appropriate if we think about Eldon. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. But all sinners will be destroyed, for there will be no future for the wicked. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He will deliver them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your presence here today. Your word reminds us to consider the blameless man. And Father, when we say that about Eldon, we don't mean that he was perfect, but he was a man that was covered in the grace of Jesus Christ. He humbled himself, admitted his sin and shortcomings, and not only received that grace into his own life, he was a grace giver and gave grace to others, offering forgiveness before they asked, offering a life of integrity in all that he did. And we come before you today as friends and family of Eldon. And we're here because we love him and miss him, and we want to cherish the memories of him. We seek to honor his life and together to honor the God he served. We thank you for his life. We see that you formed him, you knew him, and you walked with him through 88 years. And even now we have confidence that through the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, that he is in your presence. Thank you that you're a God of mercy, that you promise to comfort us. Lord, be very near Anita right now, Deanna and her family, Scott and his family. Bring comfort and peace as we remember and share fondly all that Eldon was to us. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Eldon K. Nelson, age 88, died Tuesday, March 8, 2016 at Sunset Nursing Home, Concordia, Kansas. He was born on June 26, 1927 in rural Concordia to Edwin and Francis Parson Nelson. Eldon graduated from Concordia High School, and he married Anita Larson on September 19, 1953. At the Baptist Church in Concordia. Eldon was a lifelong area resident, farmer, and mail carrier. He retired from the post office in 2005 after carrying mail for 42 years. He is survived by his wife, Anita, the love of his life, daughter Deanna Garlow and husband Don, son Scott Nelson and wife Barbara, brothers Carl or Sam and wife Regina, and Darrow and wife Mary Dean, sister-in-law Norma Nelson, grandchildren Dina Benfer and husband Devon, Stacy LaBarge and husband Nathan, Michael Nelson and wife Marissa, Dr. Daniel Garlow and wife Bailey, all of Concordia, and Brooke Nelson and Lionel Busketh, Vista, California. Allison Nitty and husband Johnny, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Sister Ramona Dibley, Modesto, California. And great-grandchildren, Drew, Davin, and Danner Benfer, Creighton Nelson, Dodger Nitty, Brady LaBarge, and Cora and Maxwell Garlo. He was preceded in death by his parents, Brother Laverne, Sister Arlene Fredrickson, and Leola Doyen. May the Lord bless his memory to our heart and life. And as we celebrate his life, we have some family members that are going to come and share some of their memories with us right now. So I invite Brooke and Allie and Michael and Barbara to come up as they share.
Dear Grandpa, the past few years have been tough. I prayed a lot. I asked why him? Why my grandpa? I thought if I prayed harder, Grandpa, everything would be okay. I prayed for your health and your memory. I found myself wondering what it was like for you. What it is like to forget everyone who has ever loved you, everyone who has ever known you. How everyone and everything becomes a distant memory you could never access here on earth. In heaven, Grandpa, you remember everything. You remember who I am. You know how much I love you. And you remember that about everyone in this room today. Did you know the impact you had on my life, Grandpa? How you showed me from a young age what true love looks like. I remember how you would look at Grandma and smile. How you two would tease each other and giggle. How you would hold her hand and she would sit right next to you in your pickup. My friends always thought that was so cute. I know what true love is because of you, and thank you for that. My best memories of you were when you would watch me play softball. You would always give me pointers, but you would never tell me directly. You would always tell my dad first. I never knew why you did that. Maybe it's because you didn't want to see me disappointed in myself. You would tell me her throw to first was a little off today, or if she kept her elbows in, she could run the bases a little bit faster. Grandpa, you were a man of few words, but when you spoke, everyone listened. You taught me so much, Grandpa, to be humble, to love with all your heart, and that family comes first, and to never give up. I remember mostly your smell. When I would hug you, I would smell like your cologne the rest of the day. I hated that when I was little, but I would give anything to have that back now. I'm sure you've already had coffee with Grandpa Rabine and told him how proud he should be of my mom for taking such great care of you and my grandma's. I'm sure you've already spoken with great-grandma and grandpa, and they've welcomed you with open arms and told you how proud they are of you and what an amazing son, father, and grandfather my dad is because of you. I bet the start to every day is a beautiful Kansas sunrise and that every evening there is a beautiful harvest moon. I bet every day is college basketball game day, and KU always wins, and Duke always loses. The newspapers in heaven are filled with stories of your life from the past few years, so you can see everything you missed here on earth. The coffee is always free, and your stomach is always full of mom's home cooking. I don't know these things for certain, Grandpa. What I do know is that heaven is much more beautiful now that you are there. I love you and I miss you, and this isn't goodbye, Grandpa. It's I'll see you later.
Hi. I'm Allie, I'm Grandpa's youngest granddaughter, Scott's daughter. Yeah. Okay. I remember, this is just an open letter to my grandpa, so. I remember the day you met me again for the first time. You looked puzzled when you were told I was Allison, your youngest granddaughter, Scott and Barb's baby girl. You said, "She can't be that old," and smiled and looked at me with a curious expression on your face. Maybe you did remember me, but only a younger version, I thought. You asked several more times, and I saw in your face you really didn't know who I was, and I was okay with that because I didn't want to make you feel bad. I remember getting in the truck with Mom and starting to cry. It hurt that you didn't know who I was, but it hurt even more that you weren't remembering your own life. Watching and hearing about your mind disappearing over the years was a really hard pill to swallow, and I've been asking God why ever since. I remember all the times you said, "Hello, Allie," and "Hey, kid," like it was yesterday. I can still hear the happiness in your voice. You are always so happy and always smiling in my memories. You always had that grandpa smell, too. It's a nice one that always has that calming and comforting effect when you breathe it in. I remember waiting for you to come into the house with the mail so you could fill your mug up with coffee and be on your way. Two scoops and don't forget, Mom would always say. But us kids would sometimes forget, and we would hide because we didn't want to have to tell you, "Sorry, Grandpa, we forgot to make coffee again." I remember your green mints and how your truck always smelled like them. You'd always offer them up to me, and I would gladly take them. Even if I saw your truck by the shed and you were nowhere around, I would run over to it and eat as many as I could. I think you knew, though, because when you show up with 20 and you leave with 5, that's always a giveaway. I remember your sense of humor. I remember you making funny comments about people and giggling with me and to yourself, while Grandma would smile and whisper, "Oh, Eldon," or "Don't be a twit." I remember the time you told Michael and I about the first time you saw Grandma at a dance. You said you knew right away that you were going to marry her, and you did. I've never seen a grandpa work so hard and love something so much as you loved farming. Growing up on a farm, you learned to observe your surroundings, and I always watched and giggled at you, Dad, Uncle Daryl, and Uncle Sam. You all are some funny men to watch, and it's pretty cool to have so many positive male role models in your life. You're a hardworking man, Grandpa, and I'm thankful that my dad got to learn from the best to be a good and caring dad, grandpa, husband, and farmer. You set the bar quite high, but Dad's met it, and he's doing a good job at holding it up. I hope you know that even though I wasn't here, I worried about you and I prayed for you. I hope you know that Mom and Dad and Grandma always had your best interest in mind and wanted you to get the help that you needed and deserved. I hope you know that whenever I see a nice field, I think of you in your nice button-down shirt carrying your water jug and walking through it. When I see a group of old farmers laughing and having a cup of coffee, I think of you and your smile. I know that in heaven you know who we all are again, and I know that you know who I am and who my son is. I know that you look down on us and see how much everyone loves you and how much everyone is going to miss you. There is so much land to be farmed up there, Grandpa. I know you're going to love it. Grandpa Larson, Grandpa Rabine, and Grandpa Edwin are all there waiting for you. I love you so much, Grandpa. Save a seat for me, but most importantly, save a seat for Dad, because I know he's really going to miss talking to you. I love you, Grandpa.
We all know Grandpa would be telling us not to fuss and go about our lives. I had the opportunity to grow up with the two hardest working men I'll ever know. Men that would put family first and themselves second, who would put a 14 to 18 hour day in and not complain. Grandpa and Dad taught me how to work hard at a young age. Watching them work hard, you just get embedded into your brain that that's what men do. Men who would come home with electrical tape holding a wound closed. Men who would smell like hydraulic oil and dirt. Men who would be so tired from working all day but still make time to ask you about your day. And it always started with, "Hey, kid." I remember riding to town for parts with Grandpa when I was little, and I asked him why he farmed. Of course, he laughed and said, "Because that's what God wants me to do." I said, "Grandpa, it takes a lot of work." He said, "Of course, that's one of the best parts." I asked him what his favorite part was, and he said, "I get to work alongside my son and watch him show you how to run equipment like I did with him." I remember when Dad taught me how to run a tractor, Grandpa was so happy. He would come watch me and just sit in his truck, wave and smile. I would purposely drive back and forth along the road so Grandpa could see me. Dad was always wondering why it took me so long to get Smith's done. Grandpa and Grandma would watch us when we got home, and Mom and Dad would go out, or they had to work late. We'd get so excited when Grandpa came home. He would eat, take a shower, come right downstairs and ask how we were doing. You could tell he was wore out, but he wanted to see us. That's how he was. People said he was really quiet. My opinion was he was just listening to what everybody had to say. He would tell jokes or funny stories, but start laughing halfway through, which would make the whole room start laughing. Here's some quotes I think fit Grandpa pretty well. Life is simpler when you plow around the stump. A bumblebee is considerably faster than a Case tractor. Don't corner something that is meaner than you. Always drink upstream from the herd. Speak kindly and leave the rest to God. Thank you for always being there, Grandpa. Thank you for showing me the meaning of hard work. Thank you for always being you. Thank you for teaching me to remain humble. Thank you for all the memories and laughs. You'll always be in my heart and on my mind. It is wrong to mourn men who have died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived.
On a happier note, I'm going to wing it. Can you hear me? I just wanted to tell him thank you and tell the family thank you. It's been wonderful up higher. Of course, we got a teacher in the front row telling me what to do. I shouldn't have even looked out there. But I did want to tell him thank you. And I did learn a lot when we first got married because I did not grow up on a farm. I learned about how cold irrigation water was when you picked up and moved sprinkler pipe and the person beside you was taller and the water would come on you. I learned about dehorning cattle. And the calf is stuck, we have to pull it. I'm like, no way, bye, I'm out of here. But it's been a pleasure, and I think we are all honored that my kids not only knew him as a farmer, a grandpa, but a mailman, so they got to see him daily. And I'm really thankful for that. And people say, I have an odd relationship with him. He was my father-in-law and my father after my father passed away, but not everybody can say they have that with him. I do know his gestures, his smirks, his smiles, his, oh, is the zoo closed today? Every time I'd go out and see him. And the best part is when I'd walk into the nursing home and the aides would go, we know you're here, just by his smile. And Sunset Home knows me very well by taking care of him, I guess. But I just wanted to tell him thank you because he's been pretty good and he's a good dad. Grandpa, uncle, and brother. And when you see him, you will always have to remember Daryl and Carl and Anita. Anita first, of course. But so thank you.
When peace like a sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well.
It is well.
Gather to honor Eldon, and we see the effects of his life upon his family. But what I want to talk to you now about the effects of his faith upon how we move forward from here, because it's really because of Jesus Christ that today is not a day of desperation and gloom, but a day in which that we can say things can be well with us, and they are well with us because we know Jesus Christ made it possible for Eldon to live forever in eternity. And, you know, it's difficult to find words that capture the heart and personality and soul of a man that we knew as Eldon Nelson. And no matter what descriptive terms one uses, there's more to tell and there's better ways of telling it. But because words is all we have right now, we'll try a few. He was gentle, patient, kind, considerate, hardworking, tender, witty, a man of few words, but also a man of deep and strong convictions. And I think most of us who knew him would say that he was a blessed man. An extension of that blessing was how he blessed the lives of not only his family, but many that are here in this room here today. You know, the Bible says a lot about living a blessed life. In fact, Jesus began his public ministry with a Sermon on the Mount and what we call the Beatitudes, eight blessings of the type of character and the qualities that a person has that lives in God's blessing. And likewise, in Psalm 1, the psalmist contrasts the man who lives in the blessing of God and one who chooses to reject God, an unbeliever, one that the psalm calls a wicked man. And Psalm 1 introduces a theme that's repeated over and over again in the various psalms and throughout Scripture as a whole. There is a blessing that comes from a life that is committed to God and His plan. And there are consequences in life we encounter if we do not follow God. You see, God created all of us to live in the blessing of God. That was His desire for each and every one of us. But sin, our disobedience, our rebellion prevents that from happening. So we'll read Psalm 1 here. Here's what it says. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. But the wicked are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. What the psalm portrays is the character of a good man that chooses, that makes choices in his life about following God. You see, living a blessed life doesn't happen by accident. You don't stumble into integrity. You don't by chance live a life of faithfulness. You just don't happen to be predisposed to love and compassion and forgiveness. No, these qualities come as they begin to be formed in our character over time through the influences and the decisions that each and every one of us make on a daily basis. And the psalmist tells us that from the onset that the blessed person makes some definite choices in their life. There is a way that he will not walk. There is a path that he won't stand in. There's places that he won't sit in. The difference between the righteous and the ungodly is how they think, how they behave, and to whom they belong. And there can be seen a progression away from the blessing that God has for us. First, you start by walking in the way of the counsel of the ungodly. Then you begin to stand in their path, and then you end up seating right next to them, and what the Bible calls scoffers. And so the blessed man of God does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He pays attention to how he thinks. The blessed one by God does not stand in the path of sinners. He pays attention to his actions. And the one who is blessed by God does not sit in the seat of scoffers. He doesn't become a person that is a naysayer and negative. And there is a different way to live. And it's not burdensome, and it's not religious ritual. The psalmist says, but his delight, not his duty, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. The picture that you have on your program captures the heart of Eldon, doesn't it? And you probably don't even need this picture. If you knew Eldon and Anita, you knew. You have pictures in your own mind of the times of them sitting next to. You saw many in the slideshow that was going on. They were inseparable. Whether they were sitting by each other in the pickup or sitting on the same side of a booth at Christie's or holding hands coming up the sidewalk to church or in their home around the kitchen table holding hands. Eldon delighted in the wife of his youth. And he loved her more in his later years than he ever thought possible in those early years. They were an inspiration to a lot of people. What a blessing. You know, hang on to those images and those examples. The way he thought about her, the way he acted toward her, and the way he sat next to her showed the delight of his heart. And Eldon also delighted in God. Scott, you mentioned to me that everything you learned to do, you learned from your dad. He taught you how to farm, how to run a combine, drive a pickup. Have some interesting stories about that. How to light a fire the right way. And while he was teaching you to do stuff, you saw the character of the man that was doing the teaching. And you said, I want to be like him. Remember those times you walked the field together. How he delighted in watching the dirt come to life. But it was more important for him to do the right things. Remember how he stood in his business dealings and stood on the side of integrity, even at times to his own disadvantage. He stood for what is right. In his later years, he enjoyed sitting and watching when he couldn't get out and do. You knew his love. You knew his life. He was blessed, and you received blessings through him. Michael, I like that last quote that you gave us, that little phrase that he said, but don't mourn because men have died. Rather, thank God that such men lived. You can say that about your grandpa. And Barbara, you gave thanks to Eldon and being able to take care of him, but know that the family just wants to say thank you for your loving and tenacious care. You were an advocate for him. You attended to him, and they saw it, and they knew you were there even when they weren't seeing you do that, and they just wanted to say thank you. You advocated for him and gave him the best care possible. You were a blessing to the man who was a blessing in turn to you. And Eldon loved the songs of the faith. I'm sure he loved hearing Don and Deanna and Daniel and Dina sing it as well. A little bit later, you'll get to hear Victory in Jesus by them. And we could imagine what Eldon would do, and his tears would begin to well up in his eyes as he was caught up in the inspiration of the words of those songs. It is well with my soul. Could you reflect through those words to the heart of the man you knew? My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. That's why Tuesday was victory. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. The psalmist goes on and says, this man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates upon that law day and night, he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves don't wither, and whatever he does prospers. What he speaks of is that a godly man has a nourishment that is deep under the surface, deep within him. He's delighting and meditating. It's producing a life within him that begins to develop a character. And I think it's instructive that it bears fruit. It's not picking fruit, but it's bearing that fruit from inside. Eldon and Ida loved each other, and they loved Jesus Christ. And I have some memories of sitting at their home at their kitchen table. Eldon sitting right next to Anita, like a little schoolboy with his first girlfriend. His love for her showed by the way he looked at her, the witty phrases he would say about her, and of course of holding her hand throughout the entire conversation. We knew Eldon would laugh his way through a joke or when he thought something was funny, but he also welled up in tears when he talked about his love for God. And as we talked about a day like today, which I talk with many people about, he wanted each and every one of us to know how he loved Jesus. And you could catch it in the way that he would ask when you would go and visit him, did you go to church on Sunday? But ask those questions, or is today Sunday? He delighted in going. You see, we all make choices of where we're going to walk, where we're going to stand, and where we're going to sit, and it makes all the difference in the world. The ungodly make choices to walk down in the path of the council, to stand for the wrong things and end up scoffing and being skeptical. But in Jesus Christ, he changed the order of that. And just briefly, I want to go through what Paul told us in the book of Ephesians. You see, we don't go through life hoping that we'll eventually get to sit with Jesus. The scripture says that once we come to grips with our own sin and confess that and believe that Jesus died for our sins, that at that point we are seated with Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 10, Paul writes, God is rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life, and he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Eldon was seated with Christ at an early age. And once you have that confidence in your life, you can move out into the world in confidence. And after you are seated with Christ and know you have that relationship through grace and not of your works, Ephesians 4:1 says, then I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And doesn't this next verse describe Eldon Nelson? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. He walked in a manner worthy of being seated with Christ. And then Paul reminds us to stand. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm. What are you going to stand for? Truth, righteousness, peace, salvation, and the Word of God. One of the qualities that kept coming up into the surface when the family talked about Eldon was his work ethic. He always was working, always doing. He was a hard worker, a diligent farmer, a faithful mail carrier for 42 years, and enjoyed that work. But Eldon wanted us to know he didn't work for his salvation. He didn't get to heaven because he loved you or because his good outweighed his bad. He gets to heaven not because he loved God, but because God loved him and sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for his sins. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, it is by grace we have been saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Once we're seated with him, we're created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he prepared beforehand that we should do. So we can say with assurance today, his faith has been made sight, and there is victory in Jesus. And he wants you to know that victory today. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, today can be that day of salvation where without a shadow of a doubt, you could be seated with Christ and begin walking in a manner worthy of that calling. You do that by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, for all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and call upon him for his salvation. And as you have a time with God, let's celebrate the faith that has been made sight in Eldon's life by listening to the words of this song, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
We all have memories of Eldon's life. We've been reminded in this memorial service of how he delighted in the law of the Lord. It's only fitting that we close this service out by once again looking to the Word of God. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And although these are the words of the Apostle Paul, I think we would all do well to think of them as Eldon made them his own and he was speaking them to us. Hear these words: whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you all. Let's pray. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.